You're listening to Shumpcast, the show the AFP doesn't want you to hear. Your hosts, Tony Nardella and Dom Sorbara.
Hello, welcome to Shumpcast. I'm Tony Shump, Ralph Nardella.
And I'm the man, Tony Sorbara,
I got to admit,
I haven't been there for ages. Come on.
That's probably the best
thank you.
Yelling, screaming, yeah. I don't know.
It's not yelling, it's singing. It's singing. Yeah. Singing. Everyone can sing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a good singer, but at least I have a crack.
What key is that in?
It's in Dom's key.
Yeah, it sounds like a front door key.
Right? Ah, you're full of shit. Yeah, you're very funny.
All right, back door key, I think.
Back door key. Yeah, of course you'd say that.
But when you sing, you know what key you're singing in, or you don't know?
No, I'm not a musician.
You're not a musician, you're a singer.
Yeah.
You're a singer.
That's why we used to have a group called One Too Many, remember? Because I was One Too Many. All you were musicians.
Oh, yeah.
All you were qualified musicians, except for me.
Oh,
anyway. What's going on?
Well, we're here now. There's episode, it's been 78, I think it is.
I don't know.
78, we're getting there, getting close
to 100. Simon Fennick! I read his book, I couldn't put it down. I just couldn't put it down. Breaking Good. Unbelievable.
Well, we got him on the phone today.
He should have been dead 3 nights.
Yeah, we got him on the show today.
Yeah.
He's an ex-kickboxer, committed family man. We're not going to talk too much about
him. Put him on.
Yes. He's going to tell us our story.
He's a tough bloke.
But it's an amazing book. I mean,
I couldn't put it down.
You know, like,
Breaking Good.
It's time-consuming reading books, you know what I mean? It's like,
well, prior to that, the only two books I ever read was Catcher in the Rye for school and Happy Hooker for pleasure. Anyway. And now this one, Breaking Good, what a book.
It's like he's made it all up, but you couldn't write this in a script.
Well, we are. Well, I reckon we haven't got to get him on, mate.
Maybe we should make a movie.
Yes, we'll ask him.
Ooh.
Yes.
Breaking Good.
There was a thing called Breaking Bad, wasn't there?
Oh, a TV show, Breaking Bad,
Breaking Good, that's a pretty good spin on it.
But have you ever gone down that way, Dom?
Don't be silly, mate, that's all right. No, not like that, never mate. Been, this bloke came from the brink. Get him on, because I want to ask him about how he's still alive.
Well, probably the lowest point of my life was when I had a sore back. Many years ago.
Stop it.
I mean, you know, it's like, what this Simon Fennick has gone through is just totally amazing. It's
hurry
just,
up, get him on. Get him on,
hurry up. You build it up, you said always in a hurry.
I'm busting the talk to him. Mate, we're here early. You know that we had to come here early because he starts his day at 5 o'clock.
I'm
here at bloody 7. I've got to go back and feed Mum when she wakes up. So hurry up, move it.
Yeah, all right, well, no more further to do.
Simon Fennick!
All right, would you please welcome to Shumpcast, Simon Fennick.
Yay! All right, you can introduce him and tell him what we're doing.
All right, Simon, how are you, mate? Good?
Good, thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, it's a bit early, mate. But anyway, I just wanted just to introduce you to our listeners about your book there, Breaking Good.
Yes.
So I'm going to read the back of the book. That's going to explain to you know what you're all about. Simon Fennick, a successful kickboxer and committed family man, tried ice for the first time after a dramatic work accident. He was instantly hooked soon, and he was dealing to support a $1,000 a day addiction. What followed was a story straight from the plot of Breaking Bad. Simon was shot by underworld hitman. He came within an inch of his losing his life after a horrific knife attack. He was hunted down by drug lords and specialist police units, and he reached the very depths of despair. But Simon's story didn't end there. Miraculously, he managed to pull himself back from the brink and find a way to help others like him.
What a great story.
I know.
Yeah. Simon, I'm going to ask you the first question. How the fuck are you still alive?
that is a question I ask myself on a daily basis. And that is the dead honest truth.
Yeah.
If it wasn't from the drugs or the assaults, I definitely shouldn't be here from the suicide attempts, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And what about the family, mate? I don't know anybody that's lost that many people and it's still here with us to talk about it? Like, what inspires you? What inspires you to get up in the morning?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. For a 5-year period, I would wake up in the morning and think about how I was going to end my life. And that was, you know, in the deep, darkest times of my life.
Yeah.
I actually felt like I had nothing to live for. And I think the biggest thing for me is jail probably saved my life. Because jail forced me to find myself.
Can you just explain that a little bit? Because jail, sure. That, I worked in boys and girls lockups as a youth worker. So how would that help you?
So, you know, my road in life was golden for most of my life till my early 30s, yeah. And then one day I was involved in this workplace accident, started using ice, became addicted, you know, my family died, it was one thing after another,
yeah.
Suicide attempts, and, you know, I went from owning a 50 square house to sleeping on somebody's couch. You know, life went backwards very fast, mixing with people who I would never have even spoken to in the past.
Yeah.
And then I find myself in jail, and there is no bigger wake-up call when you get fed through a little plastic slot in the door, yeah. And a little plastic container, a little takeaway food container through a slot in the door,
yeah.
And just as you're ready to start eating your dinner, your cellmate less than a meter away from you starts taking a shit.
You're fucking kidding.
You know, from a 50 square home to a cellmate taking a shit less than a meter away from you getting your dinner. So it was a huge wake up call. Losing your freedom was a great opportunity for me to clean myself up. No one ever offered me counselling or rehab or anything like that. So and there are plenty of drugs in jail, plenty.
How do they get the drugs in jail? Like,
Look.
Yeah.
You know what? Visitors bring them in.
Yeah.
The screws bring them in.
Yeah.
It is a currency in there. You know, I think tobacco. A pouch of tobacco sells for about $1,300 in jail.
Oh my God!
Oh,
yeah. And you would pay $20 for one string of tobacco.
So how do they deal with money? Like, you're not allowed to bring money in jail and stuff.
No, you're not. But you do have an account where people can put up to $200 a month in. And then they have, for the big dollars, they have outside accounts. So you'll have an account set up in somebody else's name or a TAB account. Somebody will put money in that account for you. Once that's done, you can hand over the pouch.
So you've got to have someone on the outside to sort of, you know,
fund you. It's all very organised. One thing about us criminals is, or ex-criminals is we're quite crafty when you have to be.
Simon, I couldn't put the book down. Like Tony said to me, oh, we're going to interview this guy, Simon, can you just, like, he had the book for ages and he didn't read it. So he gave it to me and I thought, oh, shit, I couldn't put it down. And, I mean, like, I've got 5 kids myself, and I mean, I hate to go fast over the book, but when I got to that bit where you were having dinner with your daughter, and you know, you weren't really talking and whatever, and then she sort of, you know, she wanted you back in your life, I was bawling my eyes out, like, and then I really want to know, are you talking to your oldest son?
I was talking about him last night. So he's just about to turn 24 and he still will not have a bar of me. Now, you know what? If that's my punishment, so be it. But yeah, I do believe that I've turned my life around, and you know, I wish that he would give me another chance, but this, that's not the case.
So, have you tried like an olive branch?
Many times. Yeah. I've tried letters, I've tried cards, I've tried phone contact. When my daughter had her deb, I was invited, so we went to the deb, and as I put my hand out to shake his hand, he swept it out of the way and turned his back. So he really doesn't want to know his dad anymore.
Well, he's still hurting from
Of course. You know what? That's just all my doing, not his. That's his way of dealing with his way of dealing with trauma and grief. Yeah.
And Simon, he's still sober.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just asking because I read the book and
yes, 120,000% still sober.
How long? How long?
It's been about 8 and a half years now.
Wow. Oh my God, 8 and a half years sober.
Wow, that's amazing, Simon.
Would never look back. Would never ever go there again. You know, the drugs were something to mask pain in my life. You know, today I help people get back on their feet and help them through their journey. You know,
And that's so what helps you stay on. Is that what helps you stay clean and you know?
No, what really helped me stay clean, I think the most, is my youngest son. So his mum still is entwined in that life. And I had to get my shit together because I've got full care of him, and he needs some good parents, right?
And
it's
a good role model.
You know, he's 10 years, turns 10 tomorrow actually, and
happy birthday.
And he's doing absolutely brilliant. So yeah, I had a few incentives. You know, my brother, who was the only, or he's the only living family I have left, but he's the only one that never ever turned his back, and you know, I just wanted to show him that I could do this.
So Simon, you're remarried now, have you?
Engaged.
Oh wow.
Yeah, engaged.
And you got how many kids you got now with this new partner?
No new babies, but my young son lives with us, and her youngest daughter lives with us as well. We just built a brand new house, and life is good. You know, I work hard. I work a lot of hours. I absolutely love what I do. And you know, I create chances for people every single day.
Can we just elaborate on what you do, because the people out there probably don't know.
Yeah, you work for Fruit to Work.
So
I work for a fruit company. It's called Fruit to Work. So Fruit Number Two Work.
Yeah.
And what we do is we sell fruit and milk and coffee and tea from businesses to businesses.
Yeah.
What we really do is we employ people coming out of the system. So we create meaningful employment for people impacted by the justice system.
So people coming out of jail and not getting much of a go.
These people have never worked in their life. Their father has never worked in their life. Their grandfather have never worked in their life. So this is their first job in their family.
Mate, that's huge. That's fucking huge.
Some of these people have been riddled with addiction or issues growing up, very traumatised. But everybody that wants to make a change deserves that chance. And we've been in business for nearly 8 years now, and nobody in 8 years that has joined our business has ever gone back to jail.
Wow, that's mate, right.
That's fucking fantastic. Unbelievable. Mate, I was a youth worker for 40 years, and, mate, no one has ever had that success rate.
We're very lucky. It's lucky, it's hard work. It's the business is 95%... 95% of the people employed at Fruit to Work have got lived experience of the justice system. So you know, from the business development manager to the drivers and the packers and the admin, have all been impacted by the justice system. So we really create those chances for people to change their lives.
So Simon, what's the interview process in that? So you interview these people and then you decide whether, you know, they'd make a go of it or not, or what?
Well, it's a pretty simple, no bullshit approach, right? At the end of the day, if you want to make a change and you're serious about doing something different in your life and you want to join our program, so it's not just a job. It's
a lifestyle.
There's the support around parole and corrections, so we communicate with their corrections officers and parole officers, and if they've got curfews, we have those curfews amended for working hours. We've got wraparound supports in place. We've got Building a Better You program, which is voluntary, which is all about dealing with loss, addiction, worry, rejection. So, you know, you're constantly doing work on yourself whilst being employed. There's a financial model. So the interview process is, if you've got a criminal history, you can apply for a job. So when I look for a truck driver or somebody to work in the warehouse, the first thing I ask him is, do you have a criminal record? And then we still do a police check, because we do not employ sex offenders, and we do not employ anybody who has had any sort of any crime relating to children.
But we also
base our employment on honesty and integrity. And, you know, if people sort of fess up to where they've been and what their road has been in the interview process, well, when that crim check comes back and it matches up, well, we know that we've ticked the first box of honesty.
And Simon, look, When you employ, what's the longest a person has stayed there? And, do you have a high turnover?
Probably me.
What I mean, Simon, do you have a high turnover of staff?
Yeah, of course we do. So there's core staff that we've kept, because, you can't change everybody all the time. But the average is between 6 and 12 months, where people come in with heavy parole conditions or correction orders. They get through that parole requirement, they start getting their life back, they start getting their kids in their life, they start moving into private rentals out of commission, or those boarding houses. And once they're on their feet and they're doing quite well, we say, you know what, you're doing quite well, it's time for you to move on, and we bring more people through. That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
So Simon, how many people work there at Food to Work in Melbourne?
As of yesterday, 104.
Oh my God! Oh.
104. 104, and that is now across five outlets. So we originally just had the one outlet in Laverton. We've opened in November last year. We've opened another one in Hallam in the southeast, so we can help people from both sides of Melbourne. We opened a recycling centre called Recycle for Change, where people can bring their cans and bottles. We opened one in Geelong, and we're just about to open one in Point Cook. In those two centres, we mainly employ women and youth. So women coming out of the system struggle a lot more than men, mainly because some of these guys have never had a job ever. But, you know, because, you know, they've been mums at early ages or in relationships or whatever the case may be. And then youth is a whole separate issue. So that's what we do in the recycling centres. And I'm in Queensland at the moment because we're opening up in here.
My God.
Well, make it 106, mate, because we're going to come and work for you.
Do you have volunteers, people that come and help you out?
We do. But the problem with volunteers is they actually take wages or replace somebody who needs the wages. The whole purpose of the business is to create employment. And if we get volunteers, that will take somebody's spot.
But it won't take their money. Like I'm
Well, if I'm replacing that person with a volunteer, it's taking their wage, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
we'll just clock on at 8 o'clock and come back at 5 o'clock and clock off. That's all we'll
do. Yeah, you can.
So, that's what we'll do. Now, so I just want to go back to you. To when you first sort of, many years ago, I just got here, you got Australian Asia Pacific Kickboxing Champion.
Yes. That's back pretty in my achievement. Day, I was the South Australian East Coast Champion. I was a 2-time Australian Champion and South Pacific Kickboxing Champion.
Wow, that's amazing. And in 2020, Qantas Traveller Insider Magazine as one of the most inspiring Australians. How's that?
I sat fairly well in the community. I lost my way, it's been a big climb back. I love being able to give back and to help people change their lives. I see it every single day. Men and women reconnect with their kids. There's a huge issue with youth crime at the moment, right? Everybody knows the kids are going crazy.
Yeah.
Massive in Queensland as well.
Yeah.
And my theory is if we can get mum and dad right, they can pull their kids into line, right? So it's working.
Well, they're all bored, aren't they? Like, they're bored, they're not at school, they're not working. So what's the answer, Simon?
It's not only bored. There's no routine. There's no rules. If dad's in the lockup and mum's trying to hold down a job, or working two jobs, or just doing what she has to do to get by, the kids run amok, right? Yeah. So ideally, if we can get dad right, and we can get mum right, they look after their own kids.
Yeah.
And then the kids are become inspired by their parents. These kids are very knowledgeable, right? Yeah. You've been a youth worker, right? They're very well world lived for young people. If they can see their parents turn their lives around, well, we're halfway there.
Well, a lot of it's trauma based, isn't it? So when you're young, like, how do you deal with all the trauma and stuff? Or do you deal with the trauma?
Do you deal with it? And that is a real key question. Do you have to deal with it, or can you tuck it away?
Well, if you tuck it away, doesn't it manifest a bit later in different ways?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that, because some of this stuff that you can never deal with it. I mean, how are you going to deal with the things that you've actually seen in your life? You've seen it. You can't take it back. So you almost have to get to a stage where you accept life for what it was, and move forward and take it for what it is, right? And make something of yourself. And that's what we really encourage people to do. I spent so much time that 5 years that I spoke about. I focused on what I had lost. Losing my brother, losing my mother, my father, and my daughter. All I was focused on was their deaths, right?
Yeah.
I never stopped and appreciated what I still had.
Yeah.
I never stopped and appreciated that I still had a loving brother. Yeah. I still had three beautiful kids, right? All I focused on was what I lost. Right?
Yeah.
And that was that's what sent me backwards. I needed to concentrate on what I still had.
Well, who saved you? What was the name of that guy that come up and the guy that runs this fruit thing?
Fruit to Work.
Yeah, is he still around?
So that was Rob Brown. Rob Brown, he's the owner of Fruit to Work. Yeah. He's an old Scottish guy. If he hears me calling him old, he'll kill me. one of the most amazing men I have ever met in my life.
Yeah.
I love him like a father, a brother, a friend.
Yeah.
We fight like a dog. But he helped me get where I am today. And today, I'm the general manager of the business.
Yeah.
I'm on the board of directors. When I started, Fruit to Work turned over $160,000.
Yeah.
This year, we will turn over close to $9
million. $9 million? Oh, my God! You guys are millionaires!
Mate, when are we going out for dinner?
It is not a shoestring business, you know. Yeah. It is a charity. Yeah. It is a non-for-profit.
Yeah.
So all the money... all the money that the business makes goes straight back into employing people, paying for these programs.
Yeah.
We've got a forensic psychologist on board now as well,
so
we can do a deep dive into people. Yeah. He's an incredible man. He's an entrepreneur. He's always off to the next project. You know, they want us to open up in Sydney, they want us to open up in Canberra, they want us to open up in South Australia.
Well, Mac, it sounds good. Yeah.
Have they always employed criminals, Fruit to Work?
Sorry?
Have they always employed, like, criminals?
Yes.
It's always been like that. No,
We like to know ourselves as ex-criminals.
Ex-criminals.
Yes. So there's a few jobs that that can't be, that ex-offenders can't do, and that is, they can't do payroll, because you are not allowed to... the law states that if you've got criminal history, you can't handle payroll. HR, finance. So there's a few roles that cannot be, with an ex-offender background, but everything else that can, right? There's huge talent just sitting in jail.
Yeah.
Huge.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. They just need to go.
If they've made a mistake, should they have to pay for that for the rest of their lives? No.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
At the same time, it's not a free, it's not a free ticket to say, people shouldn't have gone to jail.
Yeah.
So we know you fuck up, you go to jail.
Do your time.
You pay your dues.
Yeah.
But when you come home, you deserve to be able to start your life again.
Well, you should be given a chance to.
Exactly. Then it's up to you to take that chance. I met plenty of people in jail, right? Plenty.
Yeah.
I met plenty of great people, good people in jail that just made some stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I met plenty of people in there. Was any wonder they end up in jail what they had been through in their life, or how they grew up as kids, and then I met some other people in jail who should never ever come home. They should stay in jail because they're rotten at the core.
Yeah.
So there's three types of people in jail, in my eyes.
Yeah.
The mistakes, the brought up because that's the way they're brought up, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or rotten at the core.
And you grew up in Werribee, did you, Simon?
I did. I was a Werribee boy.
And you know a guy called the Werribee Whisperer.
Well, he's trying to be funny, Simon.
No,
sorry,
Werribee Whisperer. He's got all the gossip for up. So
no, we've got some guy on the show who's called the Werribee Whisperer, and we don't know his real name, but he comes up with little antidotes and that. Sorry about that.
We probably crossed paths because I was fairly well-lived for Werribee, I can tell you.
Oh, so you do know the Werribee.
You probably know him.
We probably crossed paths.
So, all right, Simon, I appreciate your time, mate. And all I can say is if you want to
get that book, it is one of the best books I've ever read.
Yeah. Simon Fenwick, Breaking Good, no relation to Breaking Bad. I presume you've watched the series Breaking Bad, Simon?
Yeah, that's exactly why we named it Breaking Good. It's a spin-off of Breaking Bad, really.
Yeah.
The opposite.
I love the young guy when he says Walter White. Are you all right? Are you Breaking Bad or something? You know, I couldn't work out what it meant, but that's what it means, So you can still buy the book?
Yes, you can.
And it was released in 2017, was it? Or hang on.
No, 2020, I think.
Oh, right. It's only a couple of years.
It was the week COVID hit. It was the week that the book was launched. Yeah. So, 2020.
Hey,
wow.
Can I just ask you one more question, please?
Sure.
Yeah. So, what are you doing for the rest of the day? Like, I mean, you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's 8 o'clock now. We're doing the interview because you had like half an hour off or whatever. What are you doing for the rest of the day? Like, you're flat out.
Yeah, Yeah, today I'll be banging on doors in Brisbane,
yeah.
Telling them about the Fruit to Work story, who we are, what we do,
yeah.
and try and sell fruit and milk to create more employment. So this is a cold startup in Brisbane.
Yeah.
I have to get the awareness out in who we are and what we do. So there's that going on whilst I'm getting the factory fit out at the same time. I have got a lot on.
Simon Fenwick, you are a fucking great bloke and an inspiration to everybody out there. Because if you think that you can't turn your life around, read this book, Breaking Good, by Simon Fenwick, mate. And Simon, I've got no more words, but
yeah.
You're helping people, like, after your story, that's just phenomenal. I love it, mate. That's a great story.
Yeah.
Keep up your great work, mate.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah. I really appreciate
you. Yeah, happy.
And hopefully one day you and your son, yeah, that's
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, fingers crossed, mate. You know what? He's young. Maybe he has to experience life a little bit too, work out that it's not as easy as you know people think.
We'd love to come down to your work there one day and have a look. Down
please,
have
do. Please, you're more than welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We and might get a box of fruit or something, you know what I mean?
Please do.
I'll bring the trailer and we'll fill it up. don't hang up after we finish up, eh?
Yeah.
Big hand for Simon Fenwick.
Big hand for Simon Fenwick. You bloody legend. Breaking Good. Well done, mate.
Have a great day.
Thank you, mate. Simon Fenwick, what a man, mate. What a man.
Amazing.
The fuck does he do it all? Like, where does he get the energy and all that sort of stuff? And the intestinal fortitude, because that's what you need, intestinal fortitude.
Ooh, you
and
know
he's in abundance of that, yes.
You're an ex-youth worker.
Yes.
I mean, you know how all that works. I know. It is totally amazing how he's transformed himself into a good person.
But not only that, he's transforming everyone. Like, heaps of people that come out of jail and all that, they haven't got really many prospects.
Yeah,
no one wants to hire them and all that. And he makes sure that they're looked after and they start feeling good about themselves because it gives them work. And, you know, they take pride in there. That's a fucking great story.
It's amazing, you know. And that the company he works for is...
What was his name? The bloke that would hide him? The bloke that started renting.
Oh, I can't remember his name.
He was a good bloke.
Yeah, so that's an amazing story. I mean, it's just, I'm going to pretty much listen to it again, but it's very inspiring.
Yes.
Very inspiring. But anyway, if you like our show, please subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify.
You say I'm a lot.
Interrupt.
Well, mate, stop saying too many arms.
Yeah, well,
because
I'm just
too
saying. You
want to
subscribe
if
you want.
Broth. Anyway, go. Sorry.
Well, maybe you say it.
What? What do you want me to say?
Say if you want to subscribe to our show.
If you
want
to subscribe to this show, what do they do?
They just
subscribe.
Yeah, subscribe to your TV.
And then listen to us on Spotify, Apple.
Or wherever
they are. How easy is that? I don't say arm. How many arms did I say then? See? No arms. Now you talk. Go on. I'm going to count the arms.
Anyway, I'm just saying, if you want to subscribe to our Shumpcast on Apple, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you hear your podcast. And also our YouTube channel now, which is now...
Yes!
We hit 100 subscribers.
Oh, no! Nice.
100.
Oh, we love you all, you 100.
You think
yourself 100,
that's not much compared to other people who've got, 2.6
million. We were stuck
on
61 for years. Yeah.
I know, we've got a long way to go.
Yeah.
And we had a comment on there just the other day. You're going to hit 1 million subscribers.
Yes.
I mean, gee, how's that going to happen? 1
I
million subscribers. We might have to go door knocking.
No, I'm going to have to kill you on set or something like that. Do something like real weird,
You have to go door knocking, basically.
Yes,
like the old sales thing.
Like the good RFL company.
Subscribe to our show, what I mean? Or subscribe to our channel.
Yeah.
So if you want to subscribe, that's called The Shumps on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And
you said that, go.
Yeah. Like they always say, and I'm going to say it again.
Go on.
There should be more people like Simon Fenwick and less people like you, Dom.
You never seem so amazed.
pays me.
Anyway, that takes care of that in another episode of Shumpcast.
Yeah.
And I'll see you next time on Shumpcast. But are you going to be here next time we do the episode?
I don't know. I don't guarantee anything.
Can't guarantee.
Can't guarantee.
Okay. Yep. But anyway, I'm Tony Shump, Ralph Nardella.
And I'm Domenico Antonio Zorbara.
And we'll see you next time on Shumpcast.